This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Well, I wish it would be the case that we would have a salary cap in baseball the way other sports do, and maybe eventually we will, but we don't have that now. So what we have is a luxury tax in effect. So if you go over and higher payroll, with a higher payroll, you have to pay a penalty in effect or something that goes to the other teams. It's not a perfect system. It's better than nothing. But at some point, I suspect we'll probably have something closer to what the NFL and the NBA have, but there's no guarantee of that.
That was David Rubenstein recently. I think he was in Switzerland talking with Yahoo Business and was opining about the system in place in Major League Baseball, a system that literally been in place this way for a while, and it's going to be tough to change, but he wants a salary cap. But we have a luxury tax, and this is about a year in now on the new ownership. We were very excited when he bought the team, thought things were going to change, money was going to be spent, and full disclosure, they have spent money, but there has been no long-term commitments. It seems to be business as usual. So with that, has your confidence waned on this ownership group?
I mean, the more I've thought about it, the more I just think we as Orioles fans and supporters were projecting our own stuff onto this guy. I think it was there was such a euphoria that there was closure, that he was seemingly coming in at the best time possible, and that anybody has to be better than Angelos, right? Like, we were all looking at it through that lens, and justifiably so. And he said a lot of the right things early on, referencing, not shying away from 83, but referencing 83, and setting the goals at the highest level possible, which isn't to win the most regular season games in any stupid time period, which is what they're selling now. But it was to compete with the Yankees and Dodgers and get a parade. So I think with time passing and with him now being at the helm, you know, for a full offseason and a full season going into his second year, I think you have to just step back and say, you know what the reality is here? He's a businessman, and they're all businessmen. And he got a sweetheart deal because the stadium's going to get spruced up even more. And he bought in at a high point. But it's not he's not a revolutionary. He's not going to be some savior. He's not riding in on a white horse to make everything better for everybody else. He's in it to run a business, and he's a typical young pro sports owner, even though he's certainly not young in years, and he's not young in business experience. But this is a different world, and some of them come in guns a-blazing trying to do too much. And a lot of them don't really know what they bought, and they sit back and they trust too much and they do too little. And it's not a character flaw. It's just, I've covered a lot of sports and I've covered these transitions at a micro level and a macro level. And you're usually getting one of those two models. I would have liked to see them go all in and say, you know what, we're going to be super aggressive and I see what you've done here, but time isn't on my side. And so we're going to mix something. I'd have rather seen them skew that way than this way. But this is what it is. And we got what we got. And he's not a savior. And he's not going to have a top eight payroll. He's not going to force the GM to move off of any of his internal time frames, which are always about 3 and 4 years in the future. And I think he's been hoodwinked. And a lot of people who aren't necessarily good at their jobs but are really good at keeping their jobs got a hold of his ear and bent it in a way that's going to set this franchise back. But, like, I have no animus towards him. Like, I'm not surprised, really, honestly. Once you strip the fandom out of it and just look at it as someone who's covered these transactions and the way they go, this is what it is. This is what they do.
But I was hopeful that, not to the level of Steve Cohen, but a guy who called himself an Oriole fan would throw more of his massive wealth into the team right away, like you implied, or like the guy in San Diego has done, because he wants to win, or we see it in the NFL. Now there's a cap there, but more teams, like, there are guys that will turn over every stone. This is the guy who came in, said, I'm an Oriole fan and I want to win a World Series, but he's also now been like, you know what, I have a very good GM, I'm going to listen to what he says.
And that's where I'm at, and it's kind of almost a missed opportunity, where I remember we were all so excited. We were all at that press conference, and you're right, Jason. A lot of it is like, oh, thank God, the Angelos, that's done, that's over with. Rubenstein, it's not this awkward guy at a press conference. He's out and about in every single section, throwing out hats, the fans, everyone's eating it up early on. But it's about the action. And I remember expecting, all right, first couple months, he's going to make a splash. He's going to sign an Adley to a long-term deal. And then he's really going to be walking on water with this fan base. But it hasn't happened.
The peak was the beers on opening day.
And what has happened, and you said it, Ken, they have spent money. The Rosenthal put out this piece the other day on The Athletic. Their payrolls jumped 56% year over year. That's the highest increase. Now, it was only at $93.8 million, so in large part because of that, they added $58 million in payroll. It's their highest payroll since 2017, but it's how that money's allocated. It is that new money being allocated in the best way. Where you brought this up, Jason, multiple times, where with Sugano and Morton, where they're both making $10 to $15 million. Why not combine both of those and go out and get more of an upper echelon pitcher? And I think we're all surprised in the fact that usually when these new owners come in, they're bringing in a ton of their own people. We've seen Katy Griggs, O's president of business operations, and most recently Don Rovac, chief revenue officer. That's pretty much it in terms of new blood in this organization.
Yeah. And depending on who you talk to about Katy Griggs, she might not have been long for where she was one way or the other, according to what I hear. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think ultimately you have to cover these teams like a business because they are a business. This guy didn't get all this money by spending what anyone would think is frivolously or...
Well, he did spend $20 million on the Magna Carta.
But I think that was an investment. I don't think that was... I don't think he did it to show off. I think he did it because at some point somebody in his... It's either going to stay in his family forever or at some point somebody in his family is going to sell for $50 million. Like, I don't think... This isn't a charity.
No.
This isn't a foundation. It's not the David Rubenstein Baseball Foundation. It's fine. Baltimore Orioles LLC. Or Baltimore Baseball, whatever the hell it's called. And it's an investment. It's not he's not running for mayor of Baltimore. He's not trying to be. I mean, he'll do that he is and he isn't. He'll do it for, you know, hats that probably cost them 99 cents from, you know, China and, you know, beer money at Pickles for people, but he's not here to win people over with his signings or with how the baseball operations runs things. He's just not. And I think it was naive of us to buy into a lot of the pablum that's thrown around when these things happen initially. Like, you have to judge them over time and you have to judge them on how they evaluate what they do and what they think is okay and what they don't think is good enough. And he is clearly co-signed on everything that they were doing, which a lot of smart baseball people would say ain't close to good enough, ain't close to being seizing the moment, ain't close to rewarding this fan base for sitting through 5 years of absolute dog bleep baseball. And so that's what it is. And if 10,000 empty seats in the playoffs didn't grab him by the neck and get more coins out of him or get him to go to his baseball people and say, hey, we need to rethink it, then I really don't know what will. I got to be honest with you. That will stay with me forever. That and his first playoff game as owner, if that didn't let him know that the market is speaking to you, I don't know what will.
We put out a poll. IA1057, the fan, is a, you can vote on it. Already about 200 votes in. Orioles have now been through one full season under new ownership. Same old team building concepts, nothing new at Masson, playing with the outfield wall again. So, Birdland, what have you thought of year one with Rubenstein? Less than expected, 43.1%. Far less than expected, 22.9%. Just what I expected, 19.7%. More than I expected, 14.4%.
Wow. They didn't expect much.
They thought the team
the
might
bar
go
was
under.
Really low.
They thought the games wouldn't. You wouldn't be able to watch the games on Masson. I don't know how low they set it.
Full disclosure, I wanted to vote far less than I expected, but I ended up accidentally voting less than expected. So either way, I'm not happy.
But look, don't go back to what he was saying before the start of last year when the mayor's there and. You know, the rush of $600 million of free money's there and all that, you know, talking tough then. How's he talking now? He's bitching about baseball's economic system just like the old guy did who wasn't a billionaire. He's complaining about having to compete with other teams. And he's selling you on, I think we have a pretty good team. Yeah. And pretty good's good enough. And then the baseball gods decided in October. Yeah. So he hasn't rubbed off on anybody there. Sounds to me like, hey, he sold out, and I'm gonna have to spend less than I thought I was gonna have to, and maybe make more. All right,
as I've said many times,
that's what billionaires do.
They're good, but that seems to be good enough.
Seems to be good enough for him.
Yeah, well, it's good enough for everybody in that building. We have a huge Hump Day Wednesday show. Get started our best bets with our buddy Tim Murray from VSiN at 2:30. Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joins us at 3 o'clock. Ryan Ripken, the Orioles fine. We'll ask him at 4:30. And Ross Tucker just went to the Super Bowl. He joins us at 5:15.
Yeah, excited, big show. We'll hear a little bit, I think, this week from some of the other people around the league. The Howie Rosemans of the world. What would Howie do? I wonder what Howie would do with this Ravens roster situation. The Batista thing, I'm hearing, I don't know about you guys, I'm hearing a lot of hype about this bullpen. Like, I'm hearing a lot of people who think the bullpen might be the strength of the team. Okay. You better be right.
Well, speaking of that, coming up next, what happens if Felix Batista isn't the guy he was before he got hurt a little over a year? What was that, a year ago? He wasn't in the team last year, so a little over a year ago. We discuss next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
He won't be in a spot where it's like any old spring training. We're going to be careful with him. If it needs to be a slow ramp, if he needs extra time, whatever he needs, we're going to be prioritizing that rather than bum rushing him to get him out there. But he's doing very well.
Mike Elias talking about Felix Batista, and as Jason alluded to at the end of last segment, a lot of people are expecting big things from this bullpen, but in large part, at least I think, because Felix Batista's back. But the reality is Felix Batista's coming back from Tommy John surgery, and very rarely does a guy hit the ground running coming off Tommy John surgery. If he is the guy he was 2 years ago before the injury, you've got Cano behind him, Dominguez, Kittredge, Perez, Soto behind him. It seems like a deep bullpen. But what the heck happens if Felix Batista ain't right?
Well, here's the first thing I would say about bullpens. There is unreal variance from year to year, other than, I don't know, the top 20% of relief pitchers in Major League Baseball. And I don't know how many of those guys are on this roster. So I would say, built like, again, over there, they want to sell you false hope and tell you, you know, all the answers are within. I would say take a step back, look at how the rest of the league operates, and there's inherent variance and regression in bullpens overall. That comes with the territory, and the older these guys get, the more extreme that can be. So I think you have to view it as, what if Batista is not himself most of this year? Like, he's a good relief pitcher. He's a good closer. He's not anything close to the automatic guy for multiple innings that he used to be. I think Dominguez is just a guy. I got to be honest with you. I think Soto's less than just a guy. I think Kittredge in the Dominguez and what Dominguez's role should be would be one thing, but Kittredge as the default closer when Dominguez can't do the job, I think I could see a scenario where a lot of guys are asked to do more than they should probably do rather than less. And they seem to think Danny Colom's done, and maybe he is. But Danny Colom wore a lot of hats and he wore them expertly. And I don't think Cino Perez is that guy. Maybe Kittredge is that guy. He's not going to be that guy from the left side. Like, he's not going to be able to get lefties and righties out like that lefty who they let go, who got, what, $3 million somewhere else.
They made it clear they think
so they could pay Soto his five or six and Dominguez his eight. Like, I don't know who they got who other teams coveted. They got Soto and Dominguez. They were dump-offs for the Phillies. They weren't. I don't know if they were going to be on the Phillies postseason roster. Like, certainly not for every series. So that's what those guys, that's who they are. That's what the market was telling you who they were. Kittredge is a good relief pitcher.
I like Kittredge.
I think $10 million is a lot. I think eight for Dominguez is a lot. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Well,
but people, I think, are anointing this bullpen, and I don't get it.
Well, I think the closer situation is a huge question mark. Felix Bautista in 2023 was dominant. He was dominant. He was in the top percentile for expected ERA, expected batting average, whiff percentage, strikeout percentage. I mean, he was great. And nine times that season, he picked up four outs or more to finish out games. Four of those nine times, he went two innings to close out games. You can't expect that for a guy coming off Tommy John. So I think temperate expectations are right to have for Felix. The issue is that they did not go out and get that closer insurance.
We've been begging him for that.
The closer insurance in their mind is picking up that $8 million team option for Sir Anthony Dominguez. That's their closer insurance.
So where I am, and I like the other guys, assuming they're in the roles I want them to be in. My problem is I'm not confident they're going to be in those roles because I don't think Felix Bautista is going to look like Felix Bautista. And then once these guys are given more responsibility, they become less than. If I get the nirvana of Felix Bautista looking like 2023 Felix Bautista and everybody else slots in, I'm okay with that. But I don't think that's going to be the case. Like, I'm more optimistic about some of these guys in the right roles than Jason is. I just don't think they're going to be in those roles.
I think this bullpen's going to be better than last year. I think that. Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be a dominant group, but this is going to be better than last year.
Yeah, I mean, they're also down a guy who gave them 180 innings.
Yeah.
Bullpen usage last year, right?
It
for
wasn't
years,
high.
Exactly. For years.
But they were still not great.
Weren't great and weren't used nearly as much. It wasn't that they were overextended or overused, because you had a Hoss who, he didn't always give you 18 outs, but he made 30-some starts and threw, what, 180 innings?
Yes.
That's gone.
Yep.
If you think Eflin's giving him 180 innings, I'll make that bet with you right now. I'll make that bet 8 days a week. I don't think anybody on this rotation is giving 180 innings. And I think they're also going to have to go to a six-man because
they are.
Five aren't good enough. So the lot's going to be put on the bullpen. How deep in games do you think Sagano's going early in the year?
Five.
Hmm?
Five.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, I think that's
maybe.
Gonna be, that's going to be the want. That's the want. Give me 15 outs.
I mean, and they've also, by doing it this way, they're going to keep some of their most interesting arms in Norfolk, where I just think, again, depth is great and all, but like, is Chase McDermott going to be year three as a starting pitcher in Norfolk? Right? We had part of a season. We had all last season.
Yeah, him and Povich should be here.
But if they're not here, are they going to be starting games, or are they going to or are they going to be willing to start to transform them into what they're going to be doing here?
Yeah. They don't usually do that.
Which, not, again, gives me pause.
Yeah.
Like, we saw what they did to D.L. Hall. A prize young arm. Wouldn't get... Yo-yoed him around. Yep. Jerked him around. Like... So, I have concerns. I also think... I've seen Brandon Hyde mix and match one way when he's got a freak show closer. I've seen it when he doesn't. And now, whatever you thought of Freddy Gonzalez, that was his right-hand man, and that's the guy he's talking to about all this stuff. And now... he's got a guy there who's never managed anything. So, I don't know.
Should be fun. Pitchers and catchers reporting today. Michael Elias, he's either speaking later today or tomorrow morning. We should hear from him either by the end of the show today or tomorrow's show. Coming up next, though, it's Wednesday. Time for our best bets with our friend Tim Murray from VSiN. He joins us next here on The Fan. It's a Wednesday. Time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline for our weekly best bets with our buddy Tim Murray from VSiN. And Tim, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate your time. I saw a story that Super Bowl was a very good day for the books in Vegas. I think, 22% they were up or something like that. So how did you do Super Bowl Sunday?
I did all right. Had the Eagles, had Jalen Hurts to win MVP, nice. So that was nice. A couple of the props, though, didn't come home. A lot of the, it was one of those things, guys, where I don't know if we talked about it on your show, but I ended up getting to the window on Dallas Goedert over. That didn't get there. Mahomes didn't get there on his rushing yards. So I do think, and I haven't spoken to a bunch of odds makers yet. I saw the same report you saw, Ken. But I think the fact that a lot of these big-name players, Saquon went under his, didn't score a touchdown, right? There were a lot of notable players that I think most recreational bettors and even non-recreational bettors liked overs on a lot of these players. And, you know, for a game that went 40-22, we didn't see gaudy numbers necessarily, mm-hmm. right? I imagine Jalen Hurts scoring a first. I had a Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown, so that was a pretty fortunate reversal there to start the game. I didn't have him first touchdown, but, you know, all in all, had the Eagles, had Hurts to win MVP, and that helped out. But, wasn't like an amazing day, but still pretty good day for me, which was nice. I was having a little bit of bet regret because I was about to get to the window on the under, and I didn't get there, and then we get those late touchdowns. So I was happy that I did not ultimately get to the window there on the under. But, you know, all in all, pretty good day. I was a bit surprised to see it was that fruitful of a day because of the total going over, and most people that I had spoken to liked the over as well. But, not that surprising that the books figured out a way to have a profitable Super Bowl, which is what they normally do have.
Tim, I always laugh the day after the Super Bowl. Inevitably, there's several articles coming out. Who has the best odds to win Super Bowl 60 already without any free agency, any draft, any offseason at all? Do you even look at that? Do you even mess around with any of these way, way, way too early odds for next season?
You know, sometimes, Tim, I mean, I think is if you've got a good feel of, you know, who's going to bounce back, where there are teams that were a bit unlucky. I think there's certainly, I mean, let's look at case in point, the team that won the Super Bowl this year. I mean, you were buying at an all-time low on the Philadelphia Eagles a year ago. They changed both their coordinators. They had a just disastrous finish to the season, and you were buying at a low this time last year. But I think if you're looking at, for example, if you're looking at the Ravens, and I'm sure many of your listeners are thinking about getting involved with the Ravens, I don't know if there's a need to get a ticket down on the Ravens right now. It's not like they're 100-1 and it's going to get shortened down to 50-1. You know what I'm saying? Right now, the Ravens are at 8-1 to win the Super Bowl, and that's probably going to be around the price that you're going to get, you know, come the start of the season, maybe a little bit shorter. But I think there are teams that you maybe don't have to race to be a part of. If you think, you know, a team like the San Francisco 49ers are a buy low candidate, you know, maybe you get involved with them at some point here in the offseason, or, you know, you catch wind. Not that Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr is really going to move the market one way or the other, maybe a little bit. But if you catch wind on, hey, maybe there's a big movement there, or you want to jump on the, I don't know, Pittsburgh Steelers, because you think that they have a chance to get one of these quarterbacks, and that'll change things up for them at 65-1. I understand that, but you know, for me personally, right now, Tim, there has not been a team that is initially jumping out to me. But if you're looking now, I would think it's more of the long shot that ultimately could gain, you know, some momentum here in the offseason.
Well, I did take a quick look at it, and the thing that stood out to me is, when can you get – I mean, I saw plus 750s out there for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. When can you get 8-1 for them to do something that they've done at a historic
rate? It's
true. No, and like, I mean – like, this is the, time for navel-gazing. People saying, well, Brady went 10 years without winning them, and this is when the first dynasty ends. Like, I'm hearing and seeing a lot of that out there. And it almost seems to me to be baked into that price, because if 6 weeks from now they've signed Ronnie Stanley and they've signed somebody else to play maybe right guard and they're loaded for bear to draft people and we know who's coming back, like, and they take another receiver in the first or second round who everybody's like, damn, I can't believe they got that guy there.
Yeah.
Then I, you know what I mean? Then I'm like, who's better than the Chiefs in the AFC?
No, and I think that's a fair point, but they're still right now, and I'm looking at DraftKings, you can look around, they still have the second shortest odds to win the Super Bowl right now. So I think my point was, do you need to do it now? But to your point, JLC, if they're going to go out and they're going to get some big-name free agents, then, yeah, you're probably not going to get a better price than what you have right now. And, you know, to bring it to, like, college football, since we talk about that so often, you know, looking at a team like, you know, I don't have those odds up in front of me, but you might be able to get just a marginally better price now than maybe in a couple of months when, you know, reports come out from spring, or maybe they are able to grab someone in the portal. So, yeah, to your point about the Chiefs, if you're getting 8-1, it's pretty rare to get someone like the Chiefs at that price. So certainly wouldn't push back on it, you know, but I think overall, if you're looking at kind of the top of the board, Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Lions, you're not going to get drastically better numbers or drastically worse numbers in the next couple of months, but maybe for a team further down the board, there could be a possibility that their number gets chopped in half if they do get a big free agent acquisition or, you know, do something from a trade standpoint. But no, I totally understand your point when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, because, you know, they are right now, because they got their butt whipped. Everyone's like, oh, it's time for it to be over. Mahomes has no chance to be the GOAT anymore. It's like, okay, well, I mean, the dude's still gone to 5 Super Bowls already and won 3 of them and won a couple of league MVPs. So I think they'll be fine.
Talking to Tim Murray, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Tim, before we let you go, college basketball heating up as we're about a month away from the madness beginning. Have you completely turned your eye towards college hoops? It's been a fun season. Anything you're looking at?
Yeah, so I actually, it's funny because I'm a little conflicted tonight. So I made, last Friday night, I was sitting at home, and I had a bet on UConn as they were hosting St. John's.
Right, so did I.
Yeah.
They went up double digits early, and they blew that lead. They were down at the half, and I'm looking at the St. John's team. I'm like, good God, man, this team is tenacious defensively. Best defensive team in the country and incredibly well coached with Patino. So I don't know if it was my anger boiling over from losing that bet, but I took a St. John's to make the Final Four bet at 7-1. But the reason I'm conflicted, fellas, is you know how I like to bet, and there is a stinky poo line out there tonight as St. John's, who is hotter than anybody, well, I guess I can't say anybody, but one of the hottest teams in college basketball, especially since Auburn and Duke both lost over the weekend, won 10 straight. They've never been, you know, higher from a standpoint of just what we've seen last. And now they've got to go to Villanova tonight, a Villanova team that is mediocre at best. They're fine. Yeah. Good offense, not great defense. But they're playing not at the Wells Fargo. They're playing at the small barn on campus, which is like 6,500 strong. And the number is only 2. Only 2. So, you know me, I'm in on Villanova. I think DraftKings does have a 2.5 still out there. So we'll see. A lot of these situational spots have come back to Birmingham this year. It's been a, I'll be honest, it's been a tough year for the way that I like to bet. Some of the systems that you see when you have like the unranked home team against a ranked team, those have been coming home. But, you know, situationally, I look at last night, Mississippi State was playing Florida. Florida was coming off of a huge win, and Florida went out and took care of business with ease. So I do think this is a good spot to potentially play Villanova. Good offense versus good defense from Villanova offense to St. John's defense. So I'm going to take Villanova here, but if St. John's goes out and destroys them, I guess I'll feel a little bit better about my position on them to make the Final Four. But man, it's that's a fun team to watch. They're not great offensively, very poor shooting from long range, but as
they're a throwback.
As nasty as they come from a defense standpoint.
They're a throwback to old school Big East basketball.
The last two games that they've played, UConn last Friday and then the game at the Garden against Marquette, were like
brawls.
Physical football games. Yeah. I mean, they are an older team. They're, Rick Pitino, whatever you think about him from off the court at Louisville, whatever, dude can coach ball. And they're fun to watch. So I took Villanova, holding the nose on that one, but I do think St. John's is going to be a fun team to watch. And certainly we'll talk about it maybe next week. But Maryland, man, a lot of people that I like in the gambling world think this Terps team has the upside to kind of make a run. So I know the Ohio State game was a tough one to swallow on the road there. But, man, that front court – with those two big fellas with Queen and Reese, man, they're not one to mess with.
22-1 I saw some places to make the Final Four. Some reading some columns, some people like that.
Tasty number. Tim Murray, let the people know where they can find you.
Catch me tonight on VSiN Primetime from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. And then Saturday and Sunday, get up early with me, 10 a.m. We've got a new name in the show. It's called the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. So check us out every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m.
Awesome. Tim, thanks buddy. We'll chat next week.
See you guys.
Coming up next, Kevin Willard, coach of the Terps, 22-1 to make the Final Four. He was on with Vinny and Haney yesterday. We'll hear him talk about Derek Queen, his freshman. Also, Selton Miguel, that's next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was dominant. I thought one of the things that we've been talking to Derek about is getting back down low a little bit, using his, he's almost 7 foot now, using his 6'11", 250 frame to get some offensive rebounds, to get some easy buckets, because teams have really started to scout him and load up on him. Some of the ISOs that we ran earlier in the year, teams are just knowing what we're doing with him now, and he's doing a good job of adjusting to what coaches are now really throwing a lot of respect at Derek. So I thought he played phenomenal because he played physical. He was down low. He got a lot of offensive rebounds for easy baskets, and he played just great.
Derek Queen, career-high day on Sunday against Rutgers. Terps played Nebraska at Nebraska tomorrow. But interesting, he was saying, teams have started to scout him, so you got to change things up just a little bit.
Yeah, there's going to be ebbs and flows and dips in his production. And obviously the road is a different place. And Nebraska's fans will be up for him. And he struggled against Nebraska. And Nebraska, as we've heard people talk about in the past, Willard and Chris Knocke, they will double him. And they will try to eliminate him. And they'll try to get him into early foul trouble. And they'll do some things that probably will frustrate him. Now, Juju can help show the way. And they need to absolutely keep Juju out of early foul trouble in this game. But I think Derek Queen's in a much better place now than he was 2 weeks ago. I think he's still, he's a baby. He's still growing into his body. He's got these long levers that he can't always harness. And I think the stronger he gets in his biceps, in his forearms, as he gets stronger arms, he's got the length. He's going to become a better and better rebounder, particularly an offensive rebounder. I don't know that this is going to be a show-out game for him. I don't think this game is going to look anything like the Rutgers game. I think it's a totally different opponent and a totally, totally different place with a totally different game plan. I'll be interested to see his assist totals in this game. I think if he plays this game smart, he is dishing it out to people for 18-foot jumpers like Rice likes to take, and for wing three-pointers like Miguel and even a guy like Kafari like to take. And I think he could have a big assist night.
He's coming off a game in which he tied a season high with 5 assists. But I think one of the adjustments that Kevin Willard was alluding to there, you look at the last 3 games, He's getting to the free throw line a heck of a lot more than he did. You go back to Wisconsin where he had 8 free throw attempts there. That tied a season high. 13 free throws against Ohio State. 13 free throws again against Rutgers. He's getting to the line consistently in this stretch.
More from Kevin Willard, who joined Vinny and Haney yesterday. Let's go to cut three, Ben. We've noticed that Malachi Palmer has been playing early and more often than in the games prior to the last two. He talks about giving more minutes to Palmer.
Oh, yeah. We love Malachi. He's one of the hardest workers. I think he has tremendous upside. I think he's one of the most talented kids we have on the team. And again, he's been kind of because of some of the older guys playing so well. But, you know, he's gonna get some minutes coming down the stretch because we need a little – our bench hasn't been as productive as I'd like it to be. So Malachi gives us some athleticism coming off the bench, a guy that can make a shot. And he's been practicing really good. So we like where Malachi's at.
Interesting, you know, Jimmy Patsos was with the Sunshine last week, and he was implying that Malachi Palmer might be getting some more minutes.
ABR. Always be recruiting.
Yeah.
Always be re-recruiting.
Yes. Make sure he's happy because you want him back next year.
Long term.
Yeah.
You gotta live with some short term gain. Him taking threes he ain't never going to make for hopefully long term gain.
Yeah. Maybe by March he's hitting those threes.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's your hope.
Or by next November, he's playing 27, 33 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And he and Jacoby Gillespie are forming a really interesting tandem.
More from Coach Willard. They have struggled from the free throw line the last couple of games. He talks about the inconsistent free throw shooting.
Yeah. I think that's something the tough thing about it is, you know, our highest percentage guys have struggled a little bit. Derek missed 4 big ones against Ohio State, and, you know, sometimes freshmen do that. So I think the big thing is just getting everybody relaxed at the free throw line. Keep getting the right guys there. I mean, as long as we're getting there, that was one of our weaknesses is, you know, we don't get to the free throw line nearly as much as our conference foes. So it's been a big push for us to get to the free throw line. We just got to now convert.
Yeah, you like that.
Well, he's not a blue blood.
Not a blue blood.
He doesn't get the calls the blue bloods get.
No.
He's not going to say it the way Cronin's going to say it. Cronin, by the way, twice last night I thought he was going to jump out of his suit with some of the calls they made in the final couple minutes of that game. UCLA almost won, but they did cover.
Most important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's saying it a little different than his buddy Mick Cronin would come right out and say it, but that's what he's saying. We're not the blue blood. We're not going to get the calls these other guys get. We're especially not going to get it on the road.
But you got to make the free throws when you are at the line.
Yes,
and there were
a couple of
instances late in that game against Rutgers where
they get a hundy if they hit their throws.
Yes, exactly.
They do.
You missed 12 free throws in that game.
Hey, one more from Coach Willard, who was on Vinny and Haney earlier yesterday. Talks about Selton Miguel. He always has the green light.
There's not a bad shot for Selt. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's shooting 44% from three, and I'd much rather him shoot a three than anybody else just because of his percentage, and his catch-and-shoot percentage is almost above 52%. So, I think the good thing about these guys is they know when someone gets hot. You know, Selt was hot in the first half, then Rodney started getting going in the second half, and these guys start looking for each other, which is nice.
He's a bad shot maker, bad shot taker.
Roxanne, don't have to put on the red light.
Yeah, yeah.
But Selt Miguel, he always gets the green light.
I've come to terms.
Police, right?
Yes.
There you go.
See?
Well done,
Bob.
Throwback to yesterday.
Yeah, have to make a song
callback
to that.
Yeah,
have to make a little ode to my guy, Selt Miguel.
Yeah.
First time I laid eyes on him, I said, that's my quarterback. That's my guy.
He's your peer.
He's going.
Yeah. Yes. He's your peer.
Yeah. We got the same 401k. Yeah. We're set for retirement. Same year.
Yeah. Coming up next, we get back to baseball. Pitchers and catchers are reporting today. We preview the Orioles with our buddy Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com, next here on The Fan.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized.
Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.